Podcast. Guess what? It is the day, I think when this is released, it is the day before
birthday
my birthday.
It's called your birthday eve.
It's my birthday eve. I think this is when this is released. I think you said this one's coming out like on the 30th. So that is a day before my birthday. And
how old are you tomorrow?
I'm going to be 31.
Yeah, you're lying.
31. It is hard to believe that I'm 31 years old.
And you've been married 30 years?
I've been married for 30 years.
Get out of here.
So, yeah, just a God connection before we were even, I was even conceived. God just knit us together. And so we made a decision early on.
Javi, own your 51 years of life. Own it.
I am 51 years young. I don't know. I think 51 is harder than 50 because 51, I feel like I'm sliding down the other side.
60s just around the corner.
But listen, you guys have seen us. You see, you know, on Instagram and boot camps and other places you've seen us speak, like, I do not look like 51.
You just basically told our whole audience to compliment you. How backhanded
of you. Would you please compliment me?
Wow. Stroke my ego.
I have heard from people when I tell them my age, they're like, no, you're kidding me. Like that. Like
wow.
That. Just
they go like this. Nuh-uh.
They're just shocked. Completely
shocked.
Do
they fall to the ground?
I get it. I understand that. I'm like a fine wine. I aged very, very well.
I love you.
It's that Latin skin.
And you definitely don't look 51, but you don't look 31.
Right now I look old because I had these spots on my face that they had to burn off because they said they're precancerous because I love me some sun.
Well, but who told you to go to the dermatologist?
You did, but I did.
Okay,
you cannot sip that while you're on the podcast, Shannon. It's like an aggressive swallower.
I'll step away while I sip, but I'm holding my tea because I'm very cold right now, Pookie. Sheesh. Pookie.
I don't know. You're an aggressive swallower. I don't know. Hey, let's talk about sex.
You know, you're the gray in your beard. That's kind of, it's interesting because when I look at you, I don't think of you that old, but then I'll see a picture of you. And for some reason, the flash on a camera, it grabs every gray hair from the top of your head to your chin.
I so appreciate you pointing that out and sharing that. You have no grays.
No. I love your gray, though, Pookie. Mm-hmm. It's very debonair.
Yeah,
is that still a word people use?
Sure, it is. It is.
It's very regal.
Shan, how you doing?
Oh, my gosh. Stop asking me that.
If you listen to the last number of podcasts, you'll know why I'm asking that question. But no, I'm not asking you that question, Shan. I don't really care how you're doing. You're here, and that's the most important thing.
Oh, yeah.
So it has been a... It's been a good busy month and taking a little bit of a breather, which is nice. A little bit. Shannon and I don't go on vacation. I'm not telling you where we're at, but we haven't been able to go on a while, not because of any other reason. It's just been kind of crazy. And there's people who think with the work that we do on the Marriage Lab that we're on vacation, and we're not. Simply because we have traveled the country in the Marriage Lab doing the work that we're doing, speaking in our boot camps across the country. You need to know it's work. And yes, we're in beautiful places. We're in different states. We get to see beautiful, amazing things. And we get to, on the weekends when we're not speaking or at a boot camp, we go
we
out and enjoy.
Out.
And,
yeah.
And so, yeah, it's great, but it's not a vacation.
Well, a vacation, you know, I think of it, it really has to be at least 3 days strung together, a minimum.
Okay.
So, you know, that first day, it's like, okay, you get
vacation
there.
Vacation requirements.
And then those next 2 days, it's like you can unwind. It's like, I'm going to eat yummy food. We've already gone on and I've staked out on Yelp the places. You, if it's Javier, then we know where we're getting coffee. It's this coffee shop. We're going here because they have fantastic, which
so
I love going
so
on these adventures
the truth.
With
when,
you.
When we're in a city or a town that we don't know and we want to go explore the little town or whatever it may be, I'm a coffee snob. And so I basically look in the downtown area, right? It could be a cool little downtown. And I make our starting point
with
a coffee. Like a local coffee shop where it says it's good because I don't want all those franchise stuff. And that's usually where we start, a cup of coffee, and then we walk. And that's like almost 100% of the time. It starts with a coffee shop and then we go from there.
And then it usually ends with lunch or dinner.
Yeah, it usually ends in some way or an activity or something
but
we're doing. But
here's the funny thing about Javier. He can't walk through a town. it could be, you know, a stroll that's a half an hour, or it could turn into a 2.5 hour because it's a really cool town. Javier cannot stroll through town unless there is a cup of coffee
in my hand.
In his hand. And there's this way that he holds it. And it's as if you hold the cup and then turn your fingers in towards your chest and then crush the cup up against your chest.
Just hold it.
And then you hold it against the center of your chest and you walk around town.
Okay, I don't always hold it that way, but I tend to sometimes do that.
I see my
youngest McKenna who will actually do the same thing. She'll see her holding a cup and she'll kind of hold it. And I've seen Shannon hold a mug kind of against her chest this way as well, like close to her body. Yeah.
I haven't done that.
It's not because I have this caffeine thing. It's more just I like the experience of holding a cup of coffee, of drinking coffee, and just walking and just enjoying. I get to sip and enjoy. I think it started with me when we moved to the coast, and it was cool, and even in the summers, and I would go get a cup of coffee, and I would go for a walk on the beach. I'm an afternoon coffee guy. I don't drink coffee in the morning, so you know. It's more, I don't take a siesta, but the European way in Spain, after siesta, I have a little coffee and a little something a little sweet. And that's kind of what the rhythm I've gotten into.
I would say if we were in a city and it was like the dead of summer and it's hot, there's times where Javier might get an iced coffee.
Maybe, but it has to be hot.
It has to be really hot but he'll drink coffee, you do it hot. He will, but there's been a couple times you've gotten an iced coffee.
Yeah.
A couple times.
I'm usually not walking with the iced coffee, though. It's usually going to be...
I'm not a coffee snob. I don't drink coffee at all. Well, but when we find a Dutch Bros, I will get an iced Irish Kicker.
There's a Dutch Bros by where we're at right here.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's one not that far. So
I can't have that right now because I can't not have any sugar. It's way
too much azúcar. Yeah, too much sugar.
Why did you tell me
so enough? So anyway, happy birthday to me. Happy birthday.
51 years. I'm not getting you anything this year.
I don't need anything, Shannon. Okay, good. I got the best gift ever.
What, me?
Myself.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's not myself. Okay. So, Shannon, you mentioned that you wanted to dive into a topic, and there's a podcast that we follow. It's The Naked Marriage, and they're January 8th on. They were doing, I think, 14 days of podcasts on sex with all kinds of crazy topics.
They had some crazy ones. David and Ashley were going after it.
Either we're going all the way to those topics, but I know you said you wanted to...
The one soundbite that I came upon... I was flipping through was she asked David if he liked noises during sex. And I was like, oh, they are going for it. They're going to dive into those subjects.
It is still a topic that I will teach about it and I do in front of people. But when it's like about me personally and Shannon, like it's hard for me to talk about. It's hard for me to even look at you right now.
Oh my gosh.
This little prude boy rises up within me, and it's a very funny thing.
It is a funny thing.
But yeah.
Because when we're in front of people teaching, I don't see that side of you. Obviously, when we're in front of a group, we share personally, but we don't go into detail. I mean, I think that we keep it pretty neutral and PG.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Where'd you go?
I agree with you. I got distracted for a moment. I'm sorry.
Did you see a squirrel?
Like you're going to ask me that question. Like, do I like noises? Like, I don't know. I can't answer that.
You can.
Sure. I do.
Yeah. The issue is when we talk about things in private, you've gotten a lot better than maybe 25, 30 years ago.
So I don't know if you wanted to go in a direction that we're just kind of like...
No, I'm going to go somewhere.
Just a potluck, but I think... Here's the thing, as we are in now, right, towards the end of this first month of the year, you've talked about some of the things that we mentioned, especially in that first podcast of the year, with you reviewing your year, like your marriage year of 2023.
Why are you still talking about this?
Well, then resetting, reviewing, and then like resetting, and like what's shifting and changing? What are you removing? What do you bring back in? All that, those pieces. Maybe one of those was this area, right, of sex and connectedness. Like maybe that was one of those areas of sex and intimacy. And so that's why I think it's good to unpack it and to talk about it.
You know, every time we post anything on social media about this, we get a lot of reaction, Javier, and we get reactions from both sides. You never get a neutral comment when it comes to the issue of sex in marriage. And here's why. Either we get the husbands and wives who drop in the comments with 100% agreed. Yay. You know, they're fireworks or fire. And then you get the other side. Well, my husband and I, we haven't had sex in 12 years. Mm-hmm. My wife could care less if I ever touched her again. So we get these very polar opposite comments from people. And I've interacted with so many of them on social media, privately and DMs and things like that, trying to encourage and help people. And the common denominator is that there comes a point where people stop trying, and they in essence almost give up, and they don't engage in the conversation. They're like, why have the conversation? What's the point? It's not going to, we already assume everything we think our spouse is going to do if we bring this up. So the common denominator is couples just flat out stop talking about it. They'll coexist. They'll just kind of get along as roommates. And before you know it, I've talked to so many couples where years and years have gone by and they have not addressed it.
Well, yeah, oh, sorry. My beer just got stuck on the microphone.
That was so weird.
No, you're absolutely right. What begins to happen is you may have one spouse who, you know, their drive is higher and they want to engage. You have another spouse who is not there, and it could be a number of reasons, right? We're not going to unpack all of the reasons on the podcast, but it could be physical, it could be emotional, it can be hurts from the past. Can be season of life. It could be really like they're holding it as a weapon against their spouse, right? They're punishing them by not giving them sex, right? Because they feel, you know, he's mistreated or this has happened,
yeah,
whatever it may be. And so there's a number of reasons why this can begin to happen, or she just feels just disconnected because it's like she has all these things that are going on in the day, and for him it's very disconnected, right? He has a box for that act, and mm-hmm. a box for this, and a box for this emotion, and for her everything's in one box. And if you look at it that way and you stir that up, and it's like, and you want to try to reach in there and grab the sex one, it's like, It's just not working. She's not there. She's not been invested emotionally. You haven't invested emotionally, pursued, whatever it may be, built intimacy. And mm-hmm. so therefore, like, that one's usually at the bottom of the box, all mixed in with everything else. Where for him, he can just reach in there, pull it out, like, hey, let's go.
Yeah. Right? That's so typical across the board.
So we
find that.
Yeah. So we see that. And I think that's why then over a period of time, he just gets frustrated, or again, she may get frustrated. And then they just, again, like I said, they stop talking about it. They stop engaging. And maybe that's one of the things you have to reset, is like, if you haven't had that conversation again, you need to reset and bring that back to the table.
Yeah.
And seek to understand the why on both sides, and where you're at in this area, because it's something that God created and that should be happening.
And I totally get why a husband would shut down, because if he keeps getting shot down and he's not winning, he's just going to stop asking. And I can see that. I can see where the frustration comes
from. And I'm going to say that if that's happening to you and you're a guy, it does not give you the permission to go somewhere else, the permission to look somewhere else, the permission to download apps.
Yeah.
It does not give you permission or justification, right, to go in that direction and to pursue something outside of your covenant of marriage, even just if it's pornography on your phone. No, no, no. So I've heard guys multiple times say, yeah, but you don't know, like, haven't had sex in X amount of time.
I don't care.
You know, she doesn't want to. Or like, okay, I hear you. And that's difficult. And mm-hmm. I that's got to be very tough. I get it. But what is actually going on? What is actually happening? What is taking place? Like, there's a reason why behind all of that. So I understand you have needs, but that does not give you the permission to go do what you want, to satisfy yourself, right, at the expense of your marriage, your spouse, and walking out of your covenant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a flat out sin. And we see it that way. We see it as infidelity. We see it as a breach of your covenant with your spouse. And we want people to have those conversations. And we posted a couple weeks ago, a reel that talking about the things that we hear in coaching sessions with couples, what they're revealing about their sex life. And one of the things I said in the comments was, you need to have the conversation no matter how awkward or uncomfortable it is. And we don't like awkward, we don't like uncomfortable, but in order to get to a healthy place in your marriage, we have to have these conversations. We have to be willing to go out of our way to say to our spouse, hey, how about if we get away overnight and let's talk about this thing, this elephant in the room that we keep ignoring? How about tonight after dinner when we put the kids to bed, could we sit down and just kind of both share our feelings? No judgment, no pointing the finger. Let's just share where we're at and figure out how we're going to get back on the same page. Like, have a neutral zone. Literally saying, when we come to the couch tonight, it's a neutral zone. There's no pointing the fingers. There's no you always, you never.
Yep.
We need a place because we haven't talked about this in months or years. And it's not okay that we continue this way. It's not okay for the health of our marriage. So can we come to a place where we can air how we're feeling?
Yeah.
And say the things that we want to say and then figure out how we're going to meet in the middle. Figure out how we're going to do that. In 30 years, we've had those conversations.
It's a constant frustration for us. Let's just be honest.
I wouldn't say constant.
Shannon.
No.
We're always honest on this podcast.
In seasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, my libido is much, much lower than yours.
Yeah. We flip-flopped in the last...
Yeah. It's much lower than yours.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And maybe people have said, well, because you don't eat red meat. Whatever. Like, it's not because I don't need red meat.
You know, David and Ashley Willis, he just talked about this on his podcast.
What did he say, Shannon?
He went on because he was in the same boat as you, and he went on a testosterone replacement, and it's helped him.
Well, maybe they look into that, but...
Yeah.
But it's also, have you always communicated it well to me?
Oh, not always. I could never say always.
No. You've not always communicated it well, and there's been exasperation and frustration. And at the same time, I just don't have that same drive and desire. So I've had to work on that, mm-hmm. and I've done better, but I've had to work on those things, and I had to improve in that area. But we had to talk about it. Do we always talk about it well and unpack it well? Probably not. Can we do better? Yes, 100%. What we're encouraging you is to not do what Shannon does in these moments. I'm kidding. What we're encouraging you really is to really come back to a place. Like, we can talk about all aspects of sex, right? The brokenness in it, you know, the why it's difficult for some, like some who have pain while doing it. Like, we can talk about all aspects of sex, right? And what it builds and what it leads, you know, and what the importance of it. But I think what we're trying to hit on here is just the importance of having the conversation, and that is what most couples don't do. You know, they will reach out to us and send even messages, and then we're like, hey, have you talked to your spouse about this? Oh, no. Well, that's probably a good place to start, since I'm not going to be in the bedroom with you. Like, have that conversation with them.
Yeah.
Right? But
you can see the breakdown that they've reached out to a complete stranger on Instagram because they are at a complete loss of how to move forward.
Well, and some feel much more comfortable doing that than they'll talk to their best friend or their friend all about it, but they won't go to their spouse. They feel there's either insecurity, they're unsure how to be received. And so I get it. And maybe you have to unpack it with somebody and then talk to your spouse. But don't talk about it and then not bring it up to your spouse, not have that conversation.
Yeah.
If you need clarity on how to have it, that's great. But then you actually need to go ahead and have that conversation with your spouse. So what we're encouraging you to do is actually move towards one another. And as difficult as it may be, find a place, a time, and a setting to broach these topics and find some common ground and a place of how do you move forward in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. If you're listening to this podcast, why do you keep looking over at me? If you're listening to this podcast and you say, that's us right now, and we are in a place where there is very little sex, sex hasn't happened in a while, sex has been awkward, or this is something we can't talk about. Instead of focusing on how to get back to this place, why don't we start somewhere else? And I want to read you something from our friends at Ultimate Intimacy app. And they posted this just back in December. And it said, married couples, forget about sex. Literally, it says, forget about sex. Have more fun together. Flirt more. Romance each other more.
Yeah.
Cuddle more. Touch more. Prioritize each other more. If you stop talking about sex and you just did those four things in the area of intimacy, have more fun together, flirt more, romance each other more, cuddle more, prioritize each other more, do you know what that would result in? That would result in you creating intimacy in your marriage. And when intimacy is there, then the freedom to have sex and have more of it often and enjoy each other that way physically will happen. I think sometimes we get so hung up on our sex life isn't good. What do we need to do to fix it? And it's like, well, let's go upstream and look at some things.
There you go, Shen. Fix upstream instead of downstream.
Yeah. So if we go upstream and we just do these four things, and you have to ask yourself, are you guys having fun together? Are you enjoying each other's company? Do you flirt with one another, romance each other, cuddle more, prioritize more? And then the door will be open.
No, I think I'm glad you shared that. I think that's a different way to approach it. I mean, that's all intimacy, right?
Yeah.
That's cuddle building. More, spend more time, have fun together. Like all of a sudden that maybe that distaste or that frustration you have with your spouse and that's causing you to not want to engage sexually with them, or you're like saying, no, I'm going to hold back because they're not. All of a sudden it shifts all of that because you're spending time, you're investing, you're moving towards them, not away from them. You are, you know, creating that intimacy. Like, you know, we say often at our boot camps, like things have to be right above the sheets first before they're good below the sheets. And that means you've got to be working on that intimacy, on that connection. And just don't make that the focus. Make the focus connecting.
Yeah.
And coming together and strengthening your relationship and enjoying one another. And that actually, and also I think it's removing other distractions.
Oh, my goodness, your phone.
The other distractions that you have brought in that are taking you away, or maybe the things that you're looking at that are causing you to compare your life or maybe even your body to other people, and now you're withdrawing because you feel, well, I'm not that. He probably wants that, or she probably wants that. I'm not that. And you can actually begin to pull away subconsciously. You're not maybe intentionally saying, I'm going to pull away because I don't look that way. But we start thinking because we have this image of what it should be, right? And of course, TV, all that glamorizes it, right? They try to make it this detached act, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's also this piece that when you're spiritually connected, when you're in your walk with God and you're in communion with your Heavenly Father, and then when your relationship is right with Him, that overflows even into your sex life.
Yes.
Yes, your walk with God and your sex life are connected.
Yes, 100%.
Because sex is a holy act meant to bring you together, and it's in the intimacy and the bond of marriage.
It's a way to serve one another.
You serve one another. It's a beautiful picture, right, of that. And at the same time, I'm telling you, like, if you are growing spiritually in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, like, that is going to impact also your sex life.
Yeah. No, I love that. I will say this because I posted a reel.
That's good. That was good.
Several weeks ago, I posted a reel about just my struggle with weight over 30 years. And I believe, Javier, you can amen this, but sexy is not a size, it's a feeling.
Amen. Sexy is not a size.
It's a feeling.
It's a feeling.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be sexy when I'm a size 2.
I feel a lot.
I feel a lot. Yeah. So it's this. It's this feeling. I also think, going back to what you said about distractions, we are so distracted in our lives, and I think our cell phones are a big problem. I believe that the apps that we're on. I believe that we watch too much television. We're on our computers. We're on our tablets. We're so connected that we're disconnected from the flesh and bone, literally sitting right in front of us.
Yeah. So disconnect so you can literally connect.
Plug in.
Unplug so you can plug in.
Ooh, that was good.
That's the name of this podcast episode.
Okay, I'll name it that.
And we ain't talking about your phone. No, you're right. I think this becomes a big distraction. It becomes a piece of comparison. It becomes a place that actually robs our affection. I know that sounds crazy, but it does, right? Because all of a sudden you start finding yourself, you know, connecting even with more people on there than you do your very spouse. So I'm going to encourage you to go ahead, unplug so you can plug in to your spouse, both spiritually, mentally, and physically.
What's another word for physical, Javier?
Another word for physical?
Sexually.
Sexually. So I think this is good. We're going to leave it there. There's a lot more to unpack in this area, but I think this, you know, just to cover just this communication about it, you know, what you wrote about, just learn, don't make it about sex. Like, make it about connecting and have fun and joy and building just relationship and cuddling together, like all these pieces. So next time I tell you, hey, can we just cuddle? You're going to have to say yes.
I always cuddle with you, Javier. I always do. I use the word always, but I do.
Yes, you do, honey. You do.
See?
You do.
I know.
And you're looking at the rhythms of your life and, you know, that the habits and the patterns, the things that you have brought in.
And there is no magic number. So
no, there's no
stop
magic
believing
number.
No. Whatever you read in Red Book or whatever magazine trash you're picking up.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is no magic number. And whatever your girlfriend says at the next mommy group that you get to, and she's like, we do it 14 times a week.
Yeah.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
And if she feels the need to say that in front of a whole group, then the truth is there's probably more going on there than you don't want to know.
Listen, sex is holy. Sex is good. Everybody in marriage should be doing it.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, have an incredible week in front of you. We are grateful for each and every one of you who listen to this podcast, who follow us in 24/7 Marriage, part of our boot camps, and take a look at all that's going on. There's boot camps that you need to get to, events you can come to, and resources you can download. We appreciate you. And remember, in marriage, you don't have to.
You get to.
Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to the 24/7 Marriage Podcast. Please be sure to hit subscribe and like this episode or leave us a review. To learn more about 24/7 Marriage, go to 247marriage.org or click the link in our bio on all social media platforms. And remember, in marriage, you don't have to, you get to. We'll see you next week.